thanks so much for joining in today on WPR News. And Larry Mueller here, by the way. We had a question, one question, I think, relating to bald eagles during the time Scott Craven was on the show. And bald eagles, of course, they live year-round in almost every county in Wisconsin. But far more rare are golden eagles. We have small numbers of golden eagles overwinter in the Driftless area. And we're going to talk about golden eagles now with our guest, Jeffrey Worrell, who is a co-lead researcher for the Driftless Golden Eagle Study of the Raptor Resource Project. It's based, the project based in Decorah, Iowa. Jeffrey's the former director of the National Eagle Center in Wabasha, Minnesota. Golden Eagle Study researchers recently captured in Buffalo County, I think, Wisconsin, a 32-year-old golden eagle. I want to hear that story from Jeffrey as we move along today. And I'm certainly hoping you'll join in with your questions about golden eagles. Can you tell the difference between a golden eagle and a juvenile bald eagle, for example? Give us a call. The number, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Jeffrey, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
And thank you for having me, Larry.
When did you start the Driftless Area Golden Eagle Study, and why?
Well, formally, we started 5 years ago. This is our fifth season trapping goldens. And the reason why is, going back probably over 30 years ago, I'm a hardcore fly fisher and was a fly fishing guide up here in the Driftless. And when I'd come up here in the winter, I'd spot golden eagles. I'm also a falconer, so I know the difference between a juvenile bald and a golden. And I'd call people I knew at the DNR and said, "You guys, I just saw a golden eagle." And they said, "No, you didn't, Jeff. You saw an immature bald." No, it was a golden. I know the difference. I'm pretty familiar with them. And we argued back and forth. And I said, "You need to come out here and see." And no one believed me. There's another fellow at the National Eagle Center by the name of Scott Mayhew, who's quite an authority on goldens, actually. He was one of those that was sounding the alarm early on. "I'm seeing goldens," and nobody believed us. Finally, we started to get believed. And at that time, the National Eagle Center, this was back in 2009, authorized me to start a study on wintering golden eagles here in the Driftless. Funding is tough, and so we didn't really have much funding. We were able to trap one bird. We didn't really know what we were doing at the beginning, but as a falconer, there are a lot of techniques for trapping birds of prey, and we zeroed in on what worked for them. I left the National Eagle Center, and years later, when I retired, about a week later, I got a call from the executive director of the Raptor Resource Project saying, "Would you like to start up your study on golden eagles again?" Well, I just about jumped out of my socks. The Raptor Resource Project does three critical things. They're involved in raptor conservation, public education, and research. And for many years, a couple of decades, they, along with the Kohler Foundation, studied bald eagle migrations here in the Midwest, specifically in the Driftless area. When that study wrapped up, they were ready to take on another research project. And we're thrilled to have me start up the golden eagle work. And away we went. So we are, the Midwest population of goldens has never really been studied. Very, very little is known about them and what they do here, why they're here. There are generally two different groups of golden eagles here in North America, Western and Eastern, divided, of course, by the Mississippi River. Our Western birds are quite different than our Eastern birds. These Eastern golden eagles nest and mate up in the Arctic. above Hudson's Bay. I mean, 2,500 miles north of us. When winter hits the Arctic, they want to come kind of like humans, how we'll go down to Florida where it's nice and warm. Well, to a golden eagle, coming down to Wisconsin in the winter is nice and warm. They are remarkable, remarkable animals. They can take cold, 10 below, it doesn't even faze them. They'll just sit and yawn all day long. They don't care. They are absolutely amazing in what they can deal with as far as environmental conditions. And they are the supreme predator of the sky. Nothing matches them. They are primarily predators, although they do occasionally eat carrion. Not like bald eagles do, not nearly that much. If something is frozen, they have no interest in it. They like dinner warm and kicking. They take a huge variety of prey items, from squirrels, black squirrels, gray squirrels, fox squirrels, rabbits, turkeys, and even deer. I've actually seen them bring down a full-size doe in one step.
Wow.
And absolutely amazing. I mean, an 11-pound bird brings down a 140-pound deer in one step.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Now that bird, this was a morning, or it was actually an evening towards sunset. It was about 10 below. This was up north of, a little north of Wabasha, and in Buffalo County, in here in Wisconsin. That bird fed on that deer that night, and actually the film was captured by a bow hunter who had his trail cam out. He sent me the burst photos. You could see the entire kill. I asked him if I could go up and visit. He said, sure, come on up. So I went up. That next morning, that deer was a giant block of ice. And that golden eagle never came back to feed on the remaining 135 pounds that was there. But every other animal in that coulee fed on that carcass. By May, there was nothing left of it. Coyotes, bobcats, crows, blue jays, chickadees, mice, everything. And I have an interesting question on that. So what does 140 pounds of free meat mean to the critters in that coulee? I'll bet quite a bit.
Yeah, I bet quite a bit. And a golden is, a mature golden is larger than a mature bald eagle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, they're actually quite similar in size.
Are they?
Males are roughly 10 pounds, 11 pounds. We had one male that was 8 pounds. Females, of course, are larger. In birds of prey, females are always larger. The females that we trap are anywhere from 12 to 15 pounds.
Okay.
Very similar to the bald eagles that we've trapped over our years. Very similar.
Mike in Wanakee has a question for you. Let's go there. Mike, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me on. Just a comment and one quick question. A year ago at this time, I was down at some land that my family has in southwest Dane County in the town of Perry. And my kids and I were there. We were making maple syrup, and we saw a bird flying overhead. And we knew right away that it was a little bit different. We know our raptors pretty well. And we came home that night and we were able to identify it as an immature golden eagle. And the giveaway for us was were the large white patches under each wing. And, you know, not 100% certain, but pretty confident that that's what it was. And my question is, if that's what it was, does that mean there's a nesting pair of golden eagles in the area?
So, unfortunately, no, they're not nesting here in Wisconsin. They nest up in the high Arctic. They winter here, and towards the end of February, beginning of March, you will see mating behavior between mated pairs. Our friend up at the Eagle Center, Scott Mayhew, coined the term roller coasting. The males do what looks like they're riding a roller coaster. Up and down they go. Sometimes stick passing, things like that. But there's no nesting here. But you're absolutely right. When you look up in the sky and you're seeing the silhouette, sometimes the sun is behind it. Hard to tell what you're looking at. Those white wrist patches are one of the dead giveaways. I think for me, one of the biggest giveaways is if you look up in the armpit, what would be the eagle's armpit? It's black as night in goldens. Bald eagles always have a little white up in there. And you can see it pretty clearly. If there's any white in that armpit area, it's an immature bald. If it's dark, it's a golden. Big white band across the tail on juveniles gets much darker as they get older. Those are the kind of the two big giveaways, the big white band, white armpit feathers, little white wrist patches. And another dead giveaway is look at their heads. Bald eagles have a big old Jimmy Durante snaz, big huge beak sticking out. Golden eagles have a very refined head and a much, much smaller beak. So just when you look up, they look very different, their heads do. Those are some of the good giveaways for the difference between the two.
Yeah, excellent. Mike, thank you again for calling. Jeanette in Warren, Wisconsin. We'll go to you now. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, good afternoon. I work up in Northeast Iowa and do nature photography. And a few years ago, I was at an art show over in Elkader, Iowa, Northeast Iowa, and a gentleman came up to me and he said, well, can you tell me if this is a bald or a golden? And I said, what? And he was, he emailed me photographs from a game camera in a piece of land where he was hunting on with an eagle with one talon in the top back of a doe. And the doe was jumping and it looked like the other talon had ripped out, but the eagle still had a hold of it with one talon. And it looked like the doe was likely to get away, but he didn't know because been there at the time.
Well, let me tell you something kind of interesting, kind of a funny story. Yes, they attack deer. It's from what I've seen, it's pretty rare for them to bring them down and feed on them. One thing that we've seen that, quite frankly, just blows my mind is they will chase deer and grab onto them on the backside of them, grab onto their derriere and ride them like a bucking bronco and let go and fly off and then come and do it again over and over. They're clearly not trying to kill them. If they wanted to kill them, they'd grab them by the head. It is the funniest thing to watch. We had two juveniles come in. One flew inside the wood line. One was outside the wood line in the cut corn. The one inside the wood line stooped into the wood line, flushed out about 10 deer. The one in the cut corn grabbed one of them and started bucking. After about 10 seconds, it let go, and we all laughed and said, well, it made 8 seconds. It won. They flew off. They came back and did it again. And then they did it a third time. And it was nothing more than harassing these deer. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Now, when we've had confirmed kills, those deers have been grabbed by the head. Their talons are so powerful, they can go right through the skull and they kill them instantly. That's the way a mature golden eagle kills a deer. We talked to some native guides up in Nunavik, which is the last town, inhabited town before you get into Sirius Arctic. And the native guides say that the adults chase caribou calves all the time and kill caribou calves. So our white tails are about the same size as a caribou calf. So it makes sense that they chase ungulates.
Yeah.
But what might you guess would be their primary number one preferred food source? Any guesses?
I would probably say, well, probably small animals, maybe, like rabbits.
You know, the beginning, everybody said squirrels and rabbits. Well, they do take squirrels and rabbits, but turkeys. Turkeys are their preferred quarry. They can't pass up a turkey that's out in the open, even if they're full. And they're incredibly adept at killing turkeys. It's like, for them, it's like picking a piece of lint off your shirt. It's unbelievably easy. We've seen them take them out of the sky like a falcon. I've seen them bash through brush like a goshawk. We've seen them hit them on the ground. They're feeding in a cut cornfield. I had an eagle fly overhead way high up. And I thought, well, he's got no interest in these turkeys because he kept on going. Well, 5 minutes later, here he comes, maybe a foot off the ground, probably at 40 miles an hour. He came over the top of this little berm that the turkeys were behind. When he hit that flock, he was moving like a rocket. He hit one turkey, rolled it, did a wing over, grabbed that turkey, and of course, all the other ones all took off. His kill took about 2 seconds. Oh. It was, and then he took a huge bull crop, blew off, and then everything else in that area came and fed on what was left.
Wow.
They're amazing. And to watch them actually do their hunting is even more incredible. They are incredibly smart birds. For example, when we trap, we can't be anywhere near the area that we trapped in. If we are, they know it, and they won't even fly over the valley that we're in. Oh, we've learned that the hard way.
Jeff Worrell, our guest today, co-lead researcher for the Driftless Golden Eagle Study of the nonprofit Raptor Resource Project, based in Decorah, Iowa. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to WPR News as we talk wildlife and golden eagles. We're talking about golden eagles today with Jeffrey Worrell, who is the co-lead researcher for the Driftless Golden Eagle Study. Great to have him with us today. He knows his golden eagles, that's for sure, and he's got some great stories connected with him. Mike in Madison has a question for you, Jeffrey. Let's go there. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So a couple of years ago, I was hiking on the south side of the river across from Ferry Bluff, very famous eagle area, and I happened to see two juvenile bald eagles sitting in a tree, then they get like 20 feet away, and then I heard something cackle right above me, and I look up, and 10 feet above me was a golden eagle hollering at the two juvenile bald eagles, and they both flew away. They didn't go after each other, but the golden was really aggressively chirping at the two juvenile bald eagles. And I was wondering, do those two ever fight each other over their territory?
Well, let's say they have skirmishes. They don't really fight. It's remarkable. They really tolerate one another fairly well. I trapped a second year bird this year that was probably 100 yards away from an active bald eagle nest. And the baldies were in that valley all the time, and they never really bothered one another. The balds don't go after the primary food source for the goldens. The goldens don't really eat carrion, and they don't fish. So they get along fairly well, believe it or not. Now, when the baldies are on eggs or getting ready to go on eggs, yes, they'll get a little bit more aggressive. They'll push juvenile goldies out of their territory. But the adults, they seem to get along and don't seem to mind one another, which is pretty cool. If I may, I just want to just let everybody know what this study's about. We're kind of looking at three different things. Number one is their migration patterns. Where are they going and why are they coming back to the Driftless? When they come back, do they come to the same area? Do they go to the same coulee? That's one thing that we're looking at. The other important thing that we're looking at, there's never ever been any kind of immunology work on these birds or virology studies. And as your audience, I'm sure, is well aware, avian influenza has gone through our area and caused a lot of problems, a lot of dead birds. Like peregrines, golden eagles do kill and eat waterfowl. When they're up in the Arctic, snow geese are one of their primary food sources. These are the critters, waterfowl, that carry HPAI, highly pathogenic avian influenza. It made sense to us that we needed to do this work and look at the immunology of these birds. Both peregrines and golden eagles, as chicks, have immunity to HPAI. They have the antigens in their bloodstream. It makes a lot of sense. We didn't call peregrines duck hawks for nothing. If they're killing the critters that carry a virus, chances are pretty good they're going to have an immunity to that virus, and they do. And we're finding the same in golden eagles. We're also finding that, yes, they come back not only to the triplets, but the same exact coulee they were at the year before.
Yeah.
And they travel down with their young of the year and show them that migration route.
And they, and you have trackers, in a way, attached to these birds that you've captured and released.
Any eagle that we capture that's, say, 3 years old or older, we put a GPS-enabled backpack on them. These are very small. They're extremely lightweight. We've used them for decades and never had any issues with them. So they're very safe for the eagle to wear. But we get regular daily information on where they are. Some of these transmitters have a secondary transmitter, which we then, when they're here in the driftless, that transmitter is live, and we can go find that bird and follow it all day long and see what it does. And we do.
That is really, how long is your study gonna continue, Jeffrey?
Well, our goal is to get about 25 birds backpacked. That would be statistically significant for the number of birds that are in the driftless, for us to draw some scientific conclusions and publish some papers on their travels and their ecology and their immunology and those types of things. We have an incredible partners down at the University of Iowa's Veterinary School that are doing all the immunology work for us. Incredible people down there. All on their dime, I might add. They're incredibly generous and helpful. The study will go, Larry, I would say another, for the length of all our GPS backpacks, which is roughly 8 years.
Yeah.
We're hoping the migration study will probably last another 10 to 15 years as we follow these birds. Predation study will be ongoing through this whole thing, as will the immunology work.
And I mean, if people see golden eagles in the driftless area, would you like them to contact you?
Oh, absolutely. We're always interested to know. In fact, most of the trapping we do are leads that we get from citizens that say, I have a pair sitting out my back 40 and they've been there for 2 weeks. And we'll go and scout them. And if they're the right age, we'll see if we can't trap them. This year was an incredible year. We trapped 6 adult birds. We believe we trapped a mated pair. And as you mentioned at the top of the show, we trapped what's known currently as the oldest living golden eagle in North America at now 33 years old.
That's
the current, the former record holder, the current record holder is 34 years old. In either Finland or Sweden, I can't remember.
So they are a long-lived bird.
Well, that's what we're learning. We didn't know. No one would have ever guessed we would catch a 33-year-old golden eagle and a male. Just incredible. I'd like, real quickly, I'd also like to make a quick comment. At the end of your interview with Scott Craven, who, by the way, was one of my professors when I was in college, and a great, great professor, too. You guys were talking about gut piles. Let me remind the audience about lead shot in gut piles.
Yeah.
A DD-sized piece of lead will kill an eagle. Bury those gut piles, please, unless you're using non-lead ammunition. But there's still a lot of hunters using lead for deer hunting, and it presents a serious danger to our wild raptors. So please be careful with those gut piles.
Yeah, and that's a good note to end on. And it's a good reminder that there's other ammunition out there other than lead that you can use. Jeffrey,
absolutely.
Thank you so much. I hope we can do this again. Thanks a lot for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And you know those Decor Eagles that are on camera?
Yeah.
That's us, baby. That's us. That's our group.
Jeffrey Worrell, a co-lead researcher for the Driftless Golden Eagle study of the nonprofit Raptor Resource Project based in Decorah, Iowa. What a great half hour with him. Thanks to him again. And thank you for listening. Thanks to our producers, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnott, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, and thank you for listening. And please stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.